Back home, the Spiritans religious congregation that runs Blackrock College and other prominent schools has made a public commitment to paying redress to survivors of abuse in their schools. In an open letter on their website, the provincial of the Spiritans, Father Brendan Carr, said, "We acknowledge that the pace of putting in place a necessary framework for overhauling and restructuring the assets of the province has been slow." He also said that he hoped to be in a position by the end of the summer to provide a further, more detailed update on progress to create a just redress system. We asked for a spokesperson to join us on the News at One today, but no one was available. Earlier, we did speak with Philip Fedis of the advocacy group Restore Together, which represents some of the survivors of abuse by Spiritans. He gave a tentative welcome to today's statement.
It's something that we've been working on for a long time. We sent the backbone of it to them 3 years ago. We sent a draft set of recommendations we wanted, and of the 6 points, 5 of them are contained in their letter of today. So from that perspective, we're happy with it. But, you know, we could pick through the detail of it, and within that detail, there'd be a lot of issues that we could have. But, you know, tentatively, we're very pleased with it.
Yeah, it says a couple of things. It says, "We wish to express publicly and without reservation or equivocation our profound sorrow for the abuse and apologise that, and say that apologies are of little value without concrete action. They acknowledge that the pace of putting through a necessary framework for overhauling and restructuring assets has been slow, and they're now putting in a task force." And interestingly, they also go on to say that the previous method of legal negotiations was not an adequate response for those seeking safe and healthy space for victims and survivors. But what is it that you want to see next?
Well, it's, as they mentioned, concrete action. You know, we've been talking about this for over 4 years. We agreed the framework 3 years ago. The concrete action that they say is missing is still missing. And in that concrete action, what we are looking for is it to be victim-centred and victim-led. That doesn't mean that they come along and they ask for opinions, they ask for input. It means that the decision-makers are those who are actually impacted by the abuse. So that's friends, family, and the individuals themselves. But it is to get the action now. You know, that they admit there that they've been slow in it. And what we're saying now is, OK, now we know what the framework is required. Let's put it together.
One element is financial, and it's the Spiritans having an asset bank and being able to translate that into some form of redress for victims. What do you want to see on that specific issue?
Again, immediacy. We need it to start happening now. There's lots of reasons why people can't do anything. They're saying that everybody is aware the church has got a lot of assets in this country. We recognise that some of them are tied up, but we all know that there are financial mechanisms for releasing money immediately. So we don't think that that is an excuse. And a lot of their assets are liquid as it stands, that they've got land, they've got farms, they've got apartments and things like that, which they are renting out, which could be sold immediately or mortgages could be raised against. So we don't see that as a barrier. We see now that they've come out with a statement that they've said that their whole community is behind doing it. Now what we need to do is make sure that collectively, and that means us and them and all the other victim groups that are out there, go along and we start working immediately to start building what's necessary in order to provide healing for the people who are impacted.
Can you explain something of the importance of that redress? Just how important is it to some of your members?
Well, restorative justice, I don't know, Paul, how familiar you are with it, but it's made up of various components, as is all of healing. And unfortunately, redress has been a lot of the focus, and it's hugely important. The money is never going to pay for the damage which has been caused to anybody, but it is very—it's very significant. It's a way of demonstrating who was right and who was wrong. It's the way that we have in the society at the moment of showing that this person was right, this person is going to have to pay their dues for what they didn't do or what they did wrong. So that is hugely important, but it doesn't solve the problem. Nothing will solve the problem completely. So it's a question, it is lifelong damage which has been caused, but and so that it is for the rest of the life, looking forward to how the healing can be brought about. So, you know, that is a lot of mental work. It's so that people don't have to worry about the financial impact that it's had. And it has had massive financial impacts on everybody who's been abused right across the board. But there are other aspects of how we can reintegrate people back into the community that they were part of and which they feel excluded from now. But within that, redress is hugely important. as a demonstration that these people were not wrong, that these people, that the people who were impacted and who were abused, that it was not their fault.
The open letter today, three pages of it, you could boil down to one thing. It's a promise of action. Do you believe this promise is going to be delivered because you've been promised before and that hasn't happened?
Well, as you say, Paul, we've had lots of promises and, promises are easy to make. We have been having meetings with the Spiritans every 2 weeks for almost 5 years now. There's been breaks in that, but we've got to know them very well. We believe that they are honourable, that they are trying to do their best. The problem is has been the speed, and that the problem is that it's very easy to look for excuses for not doing things. And will they do it? Well, it's not just will they do it, it's how they do it. So, yes, we believe something will definitely happen. It is whether it is the right thing. And we have the opportunity. We started from the very beginning looking to create an exemplar. The exemplar would be what would be best for everybody involved, for them, for Irish community, for society, but most of all for the victim survivors. And we believe that the opportunity is still there to implement that exemplar if they listen to what is required.
Because how damaging is it to those survivors if there's more delay?
Oh, look, you can't believe the frustration that each time, each false dawn that comes along, people think, OK, it's going to be next week, it's going to be next week. People waiting for telephone calls, people who've had restorative meetings 3 or 4 years ago where they've gone in, where they've met the representatives of the Spiritans, where they've had promises made to them and which haven't been followed up. People who are looking for information about their abuser, people who are looking for information about who knew what. And that is one of the other components of the restorative justice, is doing an investigation, a truth-telling exercise, establishing what the facts were. Because there are so many people who have come forward and said, oh, I thought I was the only one, or I didn't know anybody else was involved in this, or what happened, or families going, what happened to my brother, what happened to my son? He went into the school as an innocent 12, 11, 10 year old, and he came out a moody adolescent, and then his life fell into turmoil. So these people, they need to know it. It is required that all the information that's still available is made public so that people know exactly what happened, and we can start to understand it. And the most important fact, Paul, out of all of this is the lessons that we learn from it, so that kids are still out there, paedophiles are still out there. We are, because of the 3 or 4 or 5 years that we've lost in debating as to how this could happen, we've lost the opportunity to start teaching these kids and learning the lessons so that we can protect our kids from this happening to them again.
And finally, do we know the extent of the problem? I just saw one statistic last November, 359 survivors of abuse at Spiritan schools have come forward.
Again, we don't know the extent of it. We have been looking for facts. We've been asking for facts since the very beginning when we started engaging with the Spiritans. They have more information than we have, but they don't have the full picture either. And until there is a full investigation, until a fully comprehensive restorative justice program has been put in place, where people feel that there's a safe landing space for them to come and start looking for help, looking for therapy, looking for information, and that there is financial support available for them, it's only then that we will start to really understand what the scale of this and the impact of it is.
And that was Philip Fettes from Restore Together.